And that's part of my mission. You know, it's a big part of my mission is to bring awareness and help to not only military, but first responder families. And that's a big part. And the second part is I believe this country can be united through strong American values that I think we all do like each other. We're just doing a bad job of communicating it. And we need to bring it together because you can disagree and still come together with a good decision. And I don't know why it's you got to pick a side. So as I mentioned, we say it all the time. We're not red and we're not blue. We're red, white, and blue.
We'll discuss race and how it plays a factor and how we didn't even talk about this topic because we were afraid.
A Black Executive Perspective.
BEP is on fire. Our audience is growing fast and the impact is real. Now is the time for your brand to grow with us and reach a highly engaged, influential community with real spending power. Don't miss this moment. Email us today at media@tonytidbit.com. Let's make it happen and put you and your brand in front of the people that matter. We are coming to you live from the BEP studio for another thought-provoking episode of a Black Executive Perspective podcast, a safe space where we talk all matters regarding race, culture, and those uncomfortable topics people tend to avoid. I'm your host, Tony Tidbit.
And I'm your co-host, Chris P. Reed. Before we get started into this episode, we'd like to remind you to check out our partners at Code M Magazine, whose mission is saving the black family by first saving the black man. Check them out, Code M Magazine, 2Ms.com.
Definitely check them out. And today, check out who we sit down with, my boy John Sapiente, CEO of Volition America, for a powerful conversation on the power of choice, purpose, and unity in business and life. Together, we're going to unpack his entrepreneurial journey, the challenges of building a purpose-driven brand, and the leadership lessons every executive can put into practice.
So before we get deep into this episode, and this is going to be a great one, let me give you a little background about John. John Sapiente is an entrepreneur and CEO of Volition America, like Tony said, a patriotic apparel brand that supports the military community through Folds of Honor Foundation. I'm sure you've all heard of that. He is also the president of Triton Manufacturing, which produces medical devices, and the CEO of Elgin Dye Mold Company, a manufacturer of automotive parts. Everything but a Heisman Trophy, it seems like. The Chicago native and the University of Kansas alumnus, John's passion for community and service inspired him to create Volition America to unite people through shared American values and a commitment to the Folds of Honor mission. Patriotism with a purpose. John Sapiente, welcome to a Black Executive Perspective podcast.
Thank you. You guys did awesome. It makes me feel like I'm really important.
Buddy, I mean, we just reading it.
Absolutely.
You did. Right. You know what I'm saying? You living it. We're just telling what time it is. It's like two.
Cool.
It's like two plus two equals four, right?
Absolutely. All right. Well, do this. Tell us a little bit about where you're currently residing and a little bit about your family and things of that nature.
Yeah, I'm a Chicago guy, born and raised. Okay. As you mentioned, I disappeared for a little bit, went to University of Kansas, root on my Jayhawks for 4 years. I've got four kids, three of which are in school still. I've got a daughter who's a dental student. I've got a kid at Arizona, Wildcats, and a Jayhawk. And then I got one working in Chicago. So busy guy with business and family, but it's pretty fun.
So let me ask you this, my friend. So Kansas Jayhawk. Tell us a little bit. What made you go to Kansas?
I, as a senior in high school, I had a buddy down there, and I went and visited, and it was just a phenomenal weekend. Okay. So I decided that's where I wanted to go. And I'll tell you, it was the best 4 years of my life. Wouldn't change it for anything. Lawrence is a great city. It was really a fun place to be. Got a good education, I think. And moved myself back to Chicago after, and here we are today.
Oh, my man, that's awesome, my friend. Well, listen, you know, let's be fair. Chris, I mean, to be honest, your bio is great, but buddy, you are all over the place. I mean, you are doing so much. You're running three companies. And then with Volition America, I mean, you're all over the map. I mean, there's not a publication, to be fair, or a social platform that I haven't seen Volition in or you chatting about it, whatever the case may be. So, now, the question I have for you, why did you want to come on a Black Executive Perspective podcast talk about this topic?
Well, it's interesting because our biggest thing is bringing people together. And I've heard you guys talk about it before, about bringing us all together through common, you know, common things and good things. And I believe a lot of us believe that. And that's kind of what this Volition is. It's the same thing that I think you guys are doing. It's about bringing conflicting ideas together and coming together for a greater good. And I think your audience will resonate with it. And the other thing is with Volition, our biggest challenge is awareness. As people learn about our brand, they really like what we stand for and what we're doing. And I think it's a very positive message to people to learn. The word Volition alone is really powerful. I think that's, if your audience walked away with just the power of Volition today, I think I've done something. I mean, it's an important word.
Well, my friend, number one, we're highly blessed that you're here. We're so excited. You know, look, at the end of the day, you sent us some Volition gear that we're wearing here, right? So you've already brought us together, which is great. And let's be clear, too. The mission that you're doing, man, and how you're doing it. Chris and I chatted over the weekend. We're so excited to talk to you because this is not about apparel. This is about a movement and it's helping to change lives. So you can see I'm chomping at the bit to talk about it. Yeah. You ready, man? You ready to talk about it?
I'm ready. I got a lot to say.
Okay, buddy. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. I think what's interesting is, you know, you kind of comment and people read my bio and they're like, you're running three businesses. And sometimes I make that comment that I was too stupid to know I shouldn't be doing this. And because, you know, you keep signing up for stuff and you don't look at your time and your management. But there's an evolution and a story behind it that it kind of fell in my lap. And I am too busy right now. I've got too much going on. And the businesses have grown to a point where I need to get more resources and more help. But the Volition story is really authentic and it's inspiring because it kind of was an evolution of doing what was right. It wasn't because I wanted to build a business and I wanted to make money, and it wasn't about that. My journey started, God, it was 12 years ago, which is crazy, but 2013, I went to a charity auction for Folds of Honor. Folds of Honor, for your audience who don't know it, it's a military first responder foundation that gives scholarships to the fallen or severely injured. So to date, they've given $300 million and 61,000 scholarships, 91 cents on the dollar. So it's a really great organization. And so I bought this round of golf with Craig Stadler, who, for your audience, he's an old Masters champion.
The Walrus.
I didn't care about the charity. I just wanted to play golf with the Walrus. What I didn't know was I signed up to play golf with the Walrus on Memorial Day at the Folds of Honor headquarters in Owosso, Oklahoma, and I ended up spending the weekend with the military. And that weekend was eye-opening for me because I took for granted what the military did and the sacrifices these families made. And I walked out of there and, you know, Tony, you and I talked about this. Every one of us has a event in our life that causes us to be passionate about something. So your mom gets sick and she gets lung cancer, or your kid gets sick and then that's your thing. I kind of had this aha moment that we all benefit from what the troops do and why are we not supporting them? So I became a Folds of Honor donor first. And then for the next 2 or 3 years, I was just a very active donor from not only money, but time and networking. Mm-hmm. So I was helping the charity in all the ways I could because I thought it was really important. And then the founder, Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney, who's just this amazing human, he's a golf pro turned fighter pilot. And he started this charity because he saw a flag draped coffin come off a plane and a little kid was 3 years old. And he's like, that kid's never going to play golf or play baseball with his dad again. Mm-hmm. And so he tried to get him a scholarship, and then that worked, and then he built it into what it is today. So long story short, I know it's a long-winded answer, but he had the idea for Volition America, not me. He came to me, calls me Sap, said, hey, Sap, I got an idea. And he goes, do you know what Volition mean? I said, no. He said, well, it's the most powerful word in the English dictionary. It's power of choice. So you can choose to be happy. You can choose to be sad. You can choose to love. You can choose to hate. Just know that the choices you make write the legacy of your life. So I'm like, okay, here we go. I'm getting a life lesson. He goes, no, the idea is the brand will be Volition America, choosing America. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then he said a percentage of everything we sell goes back to help the charity. So now I had a inspirational brand with a cause-driven mission, and that was really interesting. And I was really supposed to start small, and now it's just this exploding. But at the time, it was just a side deal that I was supposed to help raise money for the charity and awareness. And that's kind of where I am today. So a lot more to it. We can dig in a lot deeper layers of that, but that gives your audience the overview.
But let me ask you this, though, because obviously you were a young guy, you know, up and coming, moving and doing things in business. What was that moment from a business perspective where you actually took the reins of leadership and decided, you know what, I'd like to lead a business, not just the first one, but, but you know, it kind of transitioned to the second. How did that come about? Well, you know, was that conscious or was that, you know, determined or was that happenstance as well?
It was an event that caused me to do it. So the Elgin Die Mold, which is my first business, which is an injection molder that makes automotive parts. So we make little plastic widgets and assembly for the OEMs and automotive people. And so I always thought of, I was diversified across Asian, European, and North American OEMs. I was fine. They'd always make a car.
OEMs, and original equipment manufacturer, just for the folks that don't,
you got
that don't speak
the
lingo.
09 came and they stopped making cars. And, you know, when the recession came, I was like, oh, shit, we're not making cars.
Right.
And so then I had to figure out, okay, we're not running now because I don't have cars. What else are we going to do? And so I went out looking to buy a business, and I stumbled on Trident Manufacturing, which did a little medical. And so I bought this little bankrupt, you know, company and rolled it into my other one. And then I realized all the lessons from automotive I could infuse into a medical device company and now drive waste out and lower cost of medical devices. And so now that kind of took off too, because it's brought a solution to med device, which was really a problem, which was high cost. And so we can bring them higher quality devices at lower cost. So now those businesses, in 2022, I built a new factory for Trident, and those are rolling along, and Volition was kind of doing its thing. So yeah, that's kind of how it happened. So the clothing line wasn't supposed to be a big brand. It was more of just a charitable thing that I was helping the founder with his idea.
Right. But to be fair, though, my friend, you know, and this is a difference, you know, one of the things, and number one, I salute you big time because, you know, I'm was in the military and, you know, I'm not that old, but, you know, years ago, when the Vietnam War was ongoing, it was a negativity to be in the military, right? You got to think about the soldiers that was risking their life. Regardless if you believed in the war or not. But when they came home after, you know, doing everything for this country, and when they came home, they were spit on.
It's time to rethink your protein. Agrilab's protein bars are crafted with high-quality protein, double the leucine, and enriched branched-chain amino acids, essential for optimal muscle recovery. Finally, a protein bar that works as hard as you do. So visit agrilabs.com and use the code BEP to get 20% off. That's agrilabs.com, promo code BEP.
They couldn't even wear their uniforms, and there was no parades. It wasn't World War II or the Korean. There was none of that, right? And so even the people, the military leaders that worked at the Pentagon or worked at the White House, they were in civilian clothes. They didn't wear their uniforms because it was that was the vitriol. That's how negative it was. And, you know, one of the things, you had 58,000 people die in Vietnam and not even get a thank you. All right. And that's how far to one side that we were about our military. OK. And to be fair, you know, one of the things that you talked about that, you know, that road to Damascus when you was on the donkey and got struck by lightning. All right. On Memorial Day, you were and you wasn't on that level of where, you know, but you didn't really talk a little bit about that. You didn't look at the military as a, not that there wasn't positive, but you just wasn't into patriotism and stuff. Correct. That energy. Speak to a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, you know, it's funny. I was listening to you speak, and I was trying to find the word that I would say my journey was, and whether I have gratitude now, whether I'm proud of myself for figuring this out. The bottom line was, up until 2013, it's not that I had disregard. I just took it for granted. And so I had this awakening of, and I call it a patriotic awakening, whether it's cheesy or not, but I had this awakening of the value that the military brought to my life. And that's kind of what the mission started was. I feel like it's my mission to get everyone more aware of what these people do and when the sacrifices they make. But yeah, up until 2013, I thought Memorial Day was a day off to play golf and barbecue. And then this year I was on Fox and Friends on Memorial Day, And it was Sunday. I talked about this with somebody, but it was Sunday. And one of my buddies was like, oh, that sucks. You have to travel on a holiday. I said, what are you talking about? This is an honor that I get to go speak on behalf of all the sacrifices, the 1.3 million people we've lost. And I can't go fly to New York for 12 hours and do that. It was an honor to do that. So I got a lot of awareness in my own life. And then I told you the story about it when we were talking about. I had a kid, we were traveling spring break, and I lost one of my kids, which not quite the Home Alone where I lost him, but he walked away from us, and I turned around, and he just walked across the gate to shake three military guys' hands. And as a parent, I was like, oh my God, that's unbelievable. I went from not even understanding to a couple years later, my kids really get it. And that's part of my mission. You know, it's a big part of my mission is to bring awareness and help to not only military, but first responder families. And that's a big part. And the second part is, I believe this country can be united through strong American values that I think we all do like each other. We're just doing a bad job of communicating it. And we need to bring it together, because you can disagree and still come together with a good decision. And I don't know why it's you got to pick a side. So as I mentioned, we say it all the time. We're not red and we're not blue. We're red, white, and blue. So how do you come together as a group and unite? And that's what I think is positive messaging instead of negative messaging. The news is ridiculous. They just poison us with bad thoughts. And then we think everybody thinks that way. And I actually think 80, 85% of Americans are all pretty close together. It's just the news amplifies the 5 or 10% on each side.
Right.
Let me ask you this, because I wasn't as aware until, you know, this weekend, quite frankly, of the mission behind what you guys were trying to accomplish. I live about 2 miles from where the new PGA headquarters is going to be. Used to live on a golf course, so I had seen it, and I thought it was more like a Peter Miller or a Travis. I thought it was just the shark, you know, on the shirt. I thought it was just a golf type brand, because I did see golf people with it. May have taken the jump to say maybe this is a veteran that's wearing this stuff. Yeah. But now that I've learned what you guys are actually investing in, especially from a building of the nation through education, right, and giving children an opportunity to be educated and things of that nature, how important is that investment at the paying it forward? How important is that paying it forward to what you guys are trying to accomplish beyond the hats, shirts, jackets, jeans, and all that other shit? Like, what does that do for you?
It's, you know, it's a vehicle, but the idea of what we started was because I felt so strongly about Folds of Honor and helping educate the legacy.
Yeah.
But, you know, the clothing, it's a vehicle to get people to put on and say, this is what I stand for. Yeah. So one of the things that we really try to do is we call it a uniform for life. Okay. So it depends. The brand means different things to different people. It can be inspirational through the power of choice. It can be, I love my country and I just want to stand up. Or it can be, I really value giving back and I know that every time I purchase, I give back. But the uniform for life, the idea behind it was, anytime you go in your closet, you have something to put on to say, this is what I stand for. And so we started in golf, and now we got a baseball deal, and we're working on fishing and hunting, and I've got athleisure clothes. And so the idea is, anytime, no matter what you're doing, you can put something on that says, this is what I stand for and this is the value. So I'm hoping that I can build a brand where when people see that emblem, they say, or that logo, they say, this is what he stands for and this is great. And if you really look at our logo, it's the folded flag and then it's wings on it. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to pick it up and lift it and take it places it couldn't go. And so, you know, you asked me earlier on the show, why did I want to be on? The more awareness we get, I think people really resonates with them. So that's kind of, I tried to stay behind the scenes and not be the face of the brand. And I think I had to just get out and talk to people, because you're, like you said, I saw the logo. I didn't really know what it was. And so we're building a mission and movement. The cool thing about it is I don't have to come up with the newest, greatest fabric or the newest, coolest product. I just got to make nice stuff that people like and educate them on what we're doing. And that's kind of been the storyline.
You know, I don't want something, because you said something a few minutes ago, and I want to make sure the audience doesn't miss it, right? And you said, hey, this is not about red and blue. It's about red, white, and blue.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? And right now we live in a country where, I mean, you can't pick up anything or watch anything, whether it's in these blue cities or these red states. And it's, we've just totally just got divided. All right? Totally by two colors, supposedly represents each, everybody, those two colors. Versus, to your point, it's about red, white, and blue. We're all one country, regardless of where we live at and where we see and what we look like. And we used to be that way. So my question I have for you, my brother, you know, the phrase, the power of choice, is really central to your brand. Okay. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about what does choosing unity, purpose, and country mean to you personally?
I think the whole country is built on conflicting ideologies. And even in my business, I always call it, we go on, when we're building a procedure or process, we go in a room and argue till we all agree and get to a common place. And we're not really arguing, but maybe once. But the point is the choice, the power of choice, you have the choice to hate the person across the aisle or come together. And I don't understand why we've come to this place that no matter what the person on the one side of the aisle or the other side says, you can't agree with them.
Right.
And I'm a big believer that, you know, there's smart people on both sides, and the best decision comes from two heads are better than one, and four heads are better than two. And so it's up to people what they want to choose, but we're making a lot of bad choices as a country. I made a comment to you before, is, you know, if you go to storming the Capitol, or looting, I mean, those are terrible choices. Mm-hmm. However you want to draw those up, those, not one of those decisions is ever good. And so we have a country as a choice. We can listen to the noise and fill our heart with hate, or we can choose to come together and understand we're going to have warts and we're going to have problems and we're going to work together. You know, even in your business, you could fix everything today. There's new weeds coming up that you're going to have to go deal with. And that's, think of how big America is as a business. There's problems all over the place, but we don't ever talk about any of the good stuff. I never turn on the news. Oh, that was a nice story. So why don't we educate people with all the good things that we do as a country instead of just the bad stuff? Why? Because the news, the negative stuff sells.
Right.
But I think if we choose to start celebrating good things, our hearts will get opened up more. We'll come together. And, you know, if I talked to you guys and said, I don't like this person enough times, and this is why I think they're bad, eventually I'll poison you guys about the other person. If I tell you, oh, no, he's a good dude, and da-da-da-da, you'll come together. Oh, yeah, he's okay. Maybe not my favorite choice, but he's a good dude.
Right.
And that's what we need to do as a country. Talk about the good stuff. And I actually think more people are united than you think. I really do.
You know what? What's interesting to me is your level of give a damn is a little different than most. Because I have a teammate who's a West Point graduate, a retired lieutenant, Apache helicopter pilot, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he was in. And you have a partner who was in. You don't, as opposed to being an American, you really didn't have a dog in the military fight. You're not a veteran. I'm not a veteran. But you're taking up the mantle of advocate, ally, all this other stuff with some other, you know, Jayhawks. Tell me about how people who didn't have a stake in the military were able to come together and realize this is important for everyone, all patriots, not just people who serve like Tony.
In the end of the day, we all love our country, right? Mm-hmm. Or most everybody loves their country. And that's kind of, and if you talk to Colonel Rooney, he's like some of the most patriotic people I met, mm-hmm. never served. I got a late awareness that I love my country. I always love my country. It just,
I think most people do.
Right. I had to learn, you know, that I could actually help make a difference. That was probably the biggest thing for me, was that I think, and it was Dan's idea, but he gave me this vehicle to make a difference. And so, you know, I joke with my wife, you know, and I'm like, how could I possibly be a guy out there speaking on this? And why am I the person to do this? But it seems to me that people like our messaging. They like what we're about. I find it comical because I'll get some negative posts or things about, you know, there's another entrepreneur trying to make money on. It's just the opposite. I'm taking away from my day job doing this. And it's a really passionate project that makes me feel good that I'm making a difference. But yeah, there's a lot of people out there that they can do little things and just just standing up and saying that's what I stand for, I think, is really valuable.
Well, here's the thing. Oh, go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
You've been accumulating these Patriots, right? Because once again, we don't make these direct connections if somebody didn't wear the uniform. So tell me about 13 Watch and how, you know, that stuff came about to make those connections, because now it's a coalition of you guys that didn't serve but are showing your patriotism.
There's a couple cool things. I'll give you a couple cool stories. So, like, one of our biggest ambassadors is a guy by the name of Gary Woodland, who is a PGA golf pro.
Yeah.
And I told Tony when I first met him that a big part of my brand is nobody is allowed to be involved unless they're passionate about it. So if we get a brand partner that wants to be involved, or we get an influencer that wants to do it, they're not all in on what I'm doing first. And we've had, you know, Gary called us. So let me back up real quick. But Colonel Rooney asked me to go make jeans, T-shirts, and a belt buckle and a hat, which is, he was a fighter pilot. So he wanted me to make a aircraft top gun.
Yeah.
I realized really quickly that jeans were a problem because of all the shapes and sizes and inventory, and Dan wanted to go into golf. So I did a little homework on golf, and I realized that 80% of the sales of golf come from pro shops. So now my mind goes, okay, I got two businesses. Who's driving around with the bag of polos around the country? I'm not. And we got this idea that we would do a collaboration with a golf brand. And so we cold called Puma. Dan met CEO of Puma North America, Bob Fillion. He fell in love with it, and they signed us to the golf line. So that's 2017. Okay. Yeah. So we're 1 year into business. It's going pretty good. I get a phone call from Gary Woodland that says, hey, I'm between my Under Armour contract just ended. I'm looking for my next gig. Do you mind if I wear your clothes for free while I'm looking for my next partnership?
Big.
I mean, yeah.
Right.
All in.
Yeah, I think I could do that. Yeah, I think I'm interested.
Something out.
Yeah. So he's the first militia guy to wear it. He gets on in the PGA in 2018, gets in the final group with Tiger. So he doesn't win. But we did when we're a small one-year-old company, we do $250,000 of sales in 1 week.
Wow.
Because of people seeing it on TV and the brand and wanting to learn about it and what it meant. And we're like, oh, wow, that's pretty good. So he ends up 2019, we sign him. And then he ends up winning the US Open, and they did $850,000 in sales. Next year, this is kind of the power of the brand. Next year, Bryson DeChambeau wins, and they Puma wins again, but they only do $250,000 in sales the week after. So the power of the brand, I mean, it was unbelievable. He's walking up 18, and Jim Nance is talking about Volition and Folds, and the audience loved it.
No question.
So anyway, Gary also is a Jayhawk. I think we mentioned all these Jayhawks, but Colonel Rooney is a Jayhawk. I'm a Jayhawk. And then the other funny story is Budweiser is a huge supporter of Folds of Honor. And the CEO who supported Colonel Rooney at Folds of Honor is also a Jayhawk. So we always joke that the Jayhawks are uniting the country. But that's what we're trying to do. But yeah, so we've had all these cool experiences with ambassadors, brands, the 13 Watch you mentioned. 13, I don't know if your audience realizes, but we believe 13 is a lucky number, not an unlucky number. Okay. And first off, the folded flag and its iconic triangle shape is 13 folds to it. Mm-hmm. And each fold has a meaning. So when you fold a flag, each fold has a meaning. There's also 13 colonies. There's 13 stripes in a flag. So we give 13% of our profit back to Folds of Honor. And so we use 13. So some of our products, you'll see a 13 on it. I don't know if that hat has it on it, but a lot of the hats have a 13 on the side of it. The joggers have a 13. So Colonel Rooney and I came up with this idea that we were actually Luminox. I'll back up a little. It's a pretty funny story. Luminox called me. They're our partner in our watches. They called me and said, we want to have our sales meeting in Owosso, Oklahoma at Folds of Honor headquarters. And if you've ever, I mean, I don't want to bash on Oklahoma, but usually a sales meeting's in Miami. Right. Vegas,
you know, New Orleans.
And they got flying over from Stockholm and whatever to come to Oklahoma. I'm like, okay, whatever. So we have the sales meeting at the headquarters. Colonel Rooney comes in and talks about 13 and Folds of Honor and the importance of 13. And the CEO of Luminox stands up, you know, and he said, listen, we got to make Colonel Rooney a 13 watch. And what they did is they took all the numbers off the watch, and at 1300 hours, they put the number 13, and they made a really badass looking Rolex. That's kind of, it looks like a Rolex. It's heavy, mm-hmm. but it's stealth black, really great watch. Mm. And then they made 345 of them. And we decided, you know what, we're not going to sell them. The only way you get a watch is if you buy a scholarship for somebody. So it was a $5,000 scholarship, and we sold 345 of them, and then 900 went back for the cost of each watch. So Folds made 4,100 a watch, which they ended up netting $1.3 million, and it was all around the, we called it the Patriot 13 watch, but it was all around the number 13 and the meaning of 13 and taking care of. So that's, we've infused a lot of things like that in cool product stories and storytelling around 13. And like we have on the back of, I don't know, did I give you guys, is there any words on the back of your t-shirt? That's a long sleeve tee.
No, so you say volition. Mine says volition. Yeah.
And his says freedom. So that's called check six. So when you're flying, pilot says check your six. Mm-hmm. So we decided we put inspirational words down your spine and call that our check six line. So we're having fun with the line. And the other thing we're trying to do is I call it, we didn't want to do the cheesy flag shirt. You know, 4th of July, you get your loud red, white, and blue. I want to celebrate country 365 days a year. So how do you do it in a subtle, cool way where you're not, you know, if you guys look at your shirts, they're not all red, white, and blue.
Right.
We use blacks and tans and greens. And so it's subtle little accents that talk about country, but in a subtle way. And that's kind of one of our missions, is really to celebrate country. Because most brands, when they make USA stuff, on July 5th, it goes on the sales rack. So it's really popular till July 4th. So we're giving brands the ability to go sell product and make it relevant year long.
My friend, let me ask you this. Number one, that's a fantastic story. And to be fair, there's nothing that you haven't said thus far that hasn't been fantastic in terms of, you know, what you're accomplishing. But to be fair, you know, you had a million reasons not to undertake this. Okay. You run in two businesses. All right. And yes, you definitely got the epiphany about, you know, the military and the greatness and what it, how it gives back to our country. But you could, and you, like you said, hey, I was just giving money to Folds. Right. And you could just continue to do that. Right. And that would have been no shame in that. There's nothing wrong with that. Right. Hey, blah, blah. But you've now started a third company and you've dove in. Right. And like you said, when you first came on the show, that you don't have a lot of time, but you can see the passion and how proud you are of this, which it gives me goosebumps because, you know, I don't take what you do lightly, because running two companies as a leader, as a C-suite, okay, with all the ups and downs and all the things that you got to deal with, and then you take on a new brand, you're kidding me. That's insane. And then you're traveling all over to promote the brand. And buddy, that is insane, but it shows the love that you have for your fellow human beings and, more importantly, your country. So the question I have, because – you know, when we talk about Folds, we're talking about military people. And the other thing I love, too, is that you're just not limited to just Army or Navy soldiers. It's also first responders, okay, that every day, you know, from police to firemen, that, you know, run to, as we're running away from danger, they're running to it, okay? Right. And so, you know, they put their lives on the line every day. Tell us how you feel when you saw, you know, the money that you've raised and you see scholarships being generated for the families of those people that's disabled or, you know, unfortunately might have passed away. Talk a little bit about that feeling.
So when I, it's funny, I've talked about this before, but when I get an order at Elgin Diamond or Trident, it kind of, you bang on your chest and look at what I built and I'm the guy, and you kind of got an ego about yourself about I built these businesses. I have the weirdest thing with Volition is that I'm humbled that I get to do this. And it's really, and I can't explain it. I said it earlier in the show, I think I was too stupid to know how hard this was and what it was. And as I've gone, I figured out the business model in a way that works. But it's very special that I get to do this. It's very special to see it working. It's making a difference. I don't think I'm scratching the surface on what it could do. But I want people, when they think of patriotism and a brand, I want them, I want to be America's favorite brand. That's really what I want to build. And I told somebody the day that I get to where the Olympics are wearing our gear, that's when I know we've built the brand that what it stands for. But it's more than just, hey, it's a patriotic shirt in USA. Anybody can slap USA on it. There's a meaning to this brand that is so much bigger than clothes. And you said it earlier, it's a mission. And by the way, you're joining the mission. I call it Volition Nation. And that's kind of what you're joining when you wear our gear. It's cool. It's really fun and it's cool.
Let me ask you this as a CEO, just agnostic business, you know, dynamics. You tend to inspire a level of innovative creativity. I mean, you're connecting dots, even in this conversation as a business leader. I'm seeing you're connecting dots to things that wouldn't be overtly obvious to a normal person. Is that something you're allowed to do in your other businesses as well? Or is it just because apparel can kind of cascade into any lane because you're making connections that are seemingly, when you do it, it's like, oh, why not? But other people haven't done it, right? So obviously, I'm crazy.
I'm getting a little more like looking back and saying some of those are good decisions. It's like the when I bought the medical device and I saw the things I learned from automotive. Right. And I came up with this, build it better for less. And then, you know, if what do you get when you take a best in class med device and compare and put it together with the best in class, you get Trident in automotive. And so I think I see things of what people want, which I don't know why, but I think I do. And then the same thing with the Volition, I saw, and I think it came from a lack of time. So I can't take credit that I built this great business model. I had to figure out I knew it was a good idea. Because first thing I did, I spent a year networking. So that's what people don't know, is I made 1,000 phone calls through networks that I had to CEOs of brands and asked them if I was an idiot. And everyone kept telling me, oh, it's big white space, good idea. I kept hearing good idea, but hard to do. Right. But I kept hearing good idea. And then I made a decision on how to do it based on time. And the biggest thing that helped us was the collabs. Because if you think about it, first off, we walked in Puma with a logo and an idea. You don't get collabs with brands because usually a collab is bringing audiences together. I got 4 people I'm bringing it. You know, that was our audience. But what they saw was this really unique storytelling opportunity that could attract people, and it was infusing a DNA and goodwill into their brand. Okay. So I didn't understand that till we've got our first deal. But what I did is they basically, when we do a collab, we're bringing all these audiences together. So now instead of a organic startup where you're trying to get one person at a time, I'm rolling in with Puma that's got, you know, 3 million customers. And we get Marucci Baseball, who's got another 3 million. So our audience was force multiplying very fast because of the collabs. So that I can't take credit for, but I do can take credit for it because I did do it, but I did it because I didn't have time. But then I realized that is the way to do this, is you're building a big audience very quickly. And it's been really rewarding. That's what's got this brand where it is.
You're still underselling it because who has the balls to just walk into these multinational companies that just want to collaborate? Be like, hey, I got some.
New one that I think will blow you away. well, this is kind of funny. But so Puma, for years, marketing was really grabbing a sergeant or a lieutenant or someone and kind of taking pictures of them in our gear and playing the military in the get back. And I think it's good and it's heartfelt, but we needed something that would really hook people. And so I said, we really need to go to like a Red Bull type, you know, experiential type marketing where it inspires people and catches them, hooks them. So we started spitballing, and somebody talked about we could go down there and they're in Carlsbad. We spitballed that, hey, what if we went down to the Navy base and hit drivers off of naval ship? I said, oh, that's cool. We get to take some content off of that. And I said, what if we did a long drive contest? And they said, oh, that'd be great. And then I watched a long drive contest on TV, and it was, I mean, I don't want to upset the long drivers, but a little boring after 7 minutes of seeing the guy rip it 400 yards and scream. Right. So then I'm like, what if we built a skills competition and made a TV show? So I came up with this TV show called the Volition America Patriot Games.
Absolutely.
And it will be a unscripted TV show. We're talking to Fox right now, trying to bring it to life. But we're trying to make it'll have veterans in it, and it'll have celebrities and professional athletes. And it'll be a unscripted competition where people get eliminated each week. Yeah. And that's, talk about going for it. I mean, because I don't know if you know this, but UFC was a fight club before it got on TV.
Correct.
And then it went viral.
Correct.
So if we could get the Volition America Patriot games on TV, I think it would be unbelievable. But that's going for it.
If you like what you hear and want to join us on this journey of making uncomfortable conversations comfortable, please subscribe to a Black Executive Perspective podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hit subscribe now to stay connected for more episodes that challenge, inspire, and lead the change.
You know, my friend, one of the things, you know, I'm sitting here and, you know, I want to piggyback off what Chris just got finished saying is that, you know, let's, you know, keep it real too. You are CEO of two other companies.
Yep.
And one of the things that's always tough is as being, you know, that leader of a company is making the right decisions or being willing to take a risk to either scale the organization or pivot it into another direction or sometimes even stay stagnant, right? And, you know, at the end of the day, you've really, you know, like you said earlier, you have a gift in terms of being able to have vision. And I think that's something where a lot of leaders struggle with in terms of having vision, or when they do see something, they're afraid to pull that trigger because what if it doesn't work? How it could maybe set the organization back or whatever the case may be. Can you just talk a little bit for other leaders out there who may be in similar situations in terms of advice that you would give them when they need to pull the trigger? When do they sit tight? I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
I have two sayings that I believe to be true. When I look out a window, and I always tell people this, I see snakes and alligators. Most people see butterflies and bunnies and all the good stuff. I see the bad stuff. So the first decision I make is always looking at risk. So I'm not going to push. Like I've been very hesitant about bringing money in and exploding this brand because I'm not sure I totally understand all the right things to do yet. Mm-hmm. So to go get a private equity and put a bunch of money in and ruin it. So I'm very calculated with risk. The other thing is I think people are prisoner of common assumption. And what I mean by that is, oh, I'd never get a TV show, so I'm not going to do that. So they don't go for it. And it could be as simple as I have managers that work for me, and they're like, oh, she won't want to work on a Saturday. Okay, how do you know if you don't ask her? Mm-hmm. So, you know, just if you don't try, what's the worst that happens? Like, I'll try to make this TV show, and they tell me I'm stupid and it's a dumb idea. Okay, great. Now let's go try for another idea. But people are prisoner of common assumption because they assume they can't do it, or they assume they already know the answer when they don't. So those are my two big things in business, is really understand the risk before you put your toes in the water. And then understand that you're never going to get it if you don't try. You got to go. And then the other thing I'll tell you, you're going to run into a lot of shit along the way, and you're got to get around these obstacles and find new ways to do it. You know, it seems like, oh, we'll go make jeans. No, jeans was dumb. Now what? You got to find a new pivot. So those are my things, how I run my day-to-day jobs.
But see, the toughest part about what you do and your approach to it is you seem to be a pretty no-nonsense, thoughtful, strategic guy in the current climate of the country, whether it be tariffs or otherwise. You are still swimming upstream as it relates to charity, inclusivity, you know, things of that nature, unity. That's not as sexy as it once was. And you're actually fighting the machine when it comes to trying to stand your ground and stay on that mantra. How hard has that been, seeing that, man, all the stuff that I grew up on and the things that I thought would be just the American way is under attack now from people who have the platform or the power to affect my bottom line or my ability to give back in this way? Because you guys give a significant amount back to diverse and minority, you know, children as it relates to education is under attack. Damn. I mean, so in these things, in this current environment, this boilerplate, how, you know, this boiler that we're in now in the country, how do you stay level headed and still stay so strong strategically as far as your vision?
Well, it's funny because I backed off the unity term for a while because it was getting such negative feedback. And then I finally realized, look, that's what I was doing this for. And, you know, I was trying to play the brand game. You know, one of the things, I think my biggest mistake and obstacles is when I got into this space, I never built a brand. I barely knew what social media marketing and Meta and all the crap I've learned. So I'd listen to these so-called experts, and they would give me all these things that they knew, and then I wouldn't do it, even though in my gut it felt wrong. Mm-hmm. And so I backed off of Unity, and I backed off, don't say that and don't say this because you'll divide people, you'll do this. And what I realized is that I'm a big believer, you got to validate what people tell you. So yes, they may be the expert, but you got to validate that you agree versus do what they say. But it was hard. I mean, it was funny because 2016, 15, when we first started this, we were doing races. We started with 5K and half marathons. Mm-hmm. And we were going to run into a Trump rally. And so we were invited to run into a Trump rally. And they're like, you can't do that, because once you do that, you have now positioned this as a right-leaning brand. And that was, they were right, and I didn't do it. So from that day forward, everything we do is non-political, non-party related. It's all about bringing people together. It's all about positive messaging. It just stay true to, your DNA and not get out of it. But yeah, it's been hard. There's been things that we've run into that, people hate us because I was on Fox. I mean, come on. I said on Fox, get me on CNN. I'll go there too. I'm not supposed to talk to them tomorrow. But it's hard. It's hard to stay true to it and not chase the sales. I could have chased the sales at the Trump rally.
You're right.
But that's not who we are, and that's not what we're doing.
Hey, so well, you'll love this beer from Chicago. Chris. Michael Jordan said Republicans wear sneakers too. You know what I mean? Remember that?
I remember that.
I've been told that. That, look, the party, it'll all buy it. I'm like, that's not what this is about. Right. So, but,
well, yeah,
it's working. It's coming together.
Absolutely. I was going to say, unfortunately, people will try to make you choose. Mm-hmm. Okay? They will try to put you in a bucket. And I'm glad that you're pushing back on that, right? Because at the end of the day, look, my friend, I just being straight with you, I'm so inspired by what you're doing. And here's the thing. You said something earlier, and I don't want that to be missed. This is not about apparel. Like you said, anybody can put an American flag on a t-shirt or jeans, whatever the case may be. This is about the spirit that you have, right? Internally, in terms of trying to bring people together and at the same time help our veterans and their families that are going through a hard time because of the sacrifices that they give, and the awareness of what the military does and the first responders as well. So at the end of the day, that's why I love what you said. It's not about red. It's not about blue. It's about red, white, and blue. And it's about all of us finally. I mean, it's amazing. Can we come together? Can we rally around? I'll say this. I remember when 9/11 happened. I was in New York. Okay. I was in New York City on 42nd and Madison.
Wow.
Okay. And I remember coming out of Grand Central Station at 8:15 in the morning. It was a beautiful day, and going up on the 11th floor of 330 Madison Avenue and going into my office, and a friend running in, co-worker saying, "Hey, Tony, do you have the radio on?" Because I always used to have the radio on, blah, blah, blah. Somebody hit the World Trade Center, and his sister worked in the World Trade Center. Okay. So I was there. I experienced that. Okay. Here's the thing that I did experience as well. That was the first time in my life I saw this country come together.
Totally.
There was no black, white, Republican. There was none of that. Okay? It was everyone. And Bush was the president. And I remember being at a store in Boston, and we're at a mall, and he came, and everybody stopped and watch the TV on the wall.
Yeah.
I remember that Friday when we came to work. Excuse me. No, that Monday when we came to work, they had a day of a remembrance. And we all at noon left the office and we all walked to church. So don't tell me it can't be done. We came together as a country. Okay. Flat out. Okay. And that was, go back, like you said, choice. That was a choice. So let me tell you, my brother, I applaud you. Anything you need, we got your back. Because at the end of the day, we need to get back to that. And yes, it was a tragedy. Okay. It was a horrible tragedy. But you know what? It was a time where I was so proud to be an American, because our people were all together and we were like a family, and you don't mess with this family, and we were all on the same page. So, you know, final thoughts, my brother. I don't want to take up, because this is your thing, but final thoughts. What do you want to leave the audience?
Well, I think everyone has a choice. Hopefully I've empowered them to understand today that volition is a power choice, and they're going to infuse it into their life. They can live a better life, whether it's just coming together and unifying or just living a better life. I mean, just use the power of volition in your life every day. You'll come out ahead. I'm thankful to your audience to let me tell my story. Thank you for having me. I love the not only the brand, getting the brand out there, but the awareness to Folds of Honor. Mm-hmm. You may not want to support the brand. You may just be passionate about Folds of Honor, and please donate and help the families that benefit from that. But, yeah, I'm just thankful to be here, and love meeting you guys.
So beyond that, the apparel is good. Like, shit, I mean, it feels good. It looks good. It feels good. So when you have a message behind a mission, and when you have something that you're passionate about, that you obviously are, it can't lose. They say if you work a job that you love, you'll never work a day in your life type situation. You seem to imbue and embody such a passion for this, as what was once a pet project has turned into something that has cascaded into something magnificent, not just for you and your family, your children, but also for the country as a whole, for sports fans everywhere. And now I know better. And I think, like you said, highlighting the fact that when I see this symbol, it reminds me of some of the sacrifices and being able to turn tragedy into triumph. You've done an excellent job, you and your partners, the missions that you guys have. So we definitely appreciate it. Is there anything that a Black Executive Perspective podcast could do to assist you going forward, or anything that we can provide to help you in this mission? Because we truly believe in it wholeheartedly.
Just help spread the word, guys. Keep supporting. Appreciate you joining Volition Nation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go to volitionamerica.com, buy some gear and support us. I do. I didn't talk about it, but I'm glad you said the product's good, because I really did focus on the quality of the fabrics and materials. And you know, it's not that we had to reinvent the greatest new thing, but I did want a high quality kind of G4 RLX type products that people would like. So it's good stuff. So thank you again. And you guys, this is great. A lot of fun.
Cool.
John, buddy. Thank you, my brother. God is good. You know, it's always good to see an angel, even though you are in Chicago. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if, you know, that's the only thing that, you know, from a Detroit dude and a Chicago dude, I don't know. But, you know, all that being said, my brother, really appreciate you. Matt, we wish you nothing but mad success. We love to have you come back on at some point. Talk about how things are going, stuff to that nature. So you have some new family, one in Connecticut, one in Dallas, part of Volition Nation. So we want to thank you for appearing on the Black Executive Perspective podcast, my friend.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. So now I think it's time for
Tony's Tidbit.
And the tidbit today, unity is not the absence of difference. It's the choice to arise above it and serve beyond yourself. Every brand, every movement, every legacy is born when we decide to build something great together. And you heard a lot of that from our CEO and our best friend, John Sapiente.
So we want to remind you to tune in to Need to Know with Nasinga, where weekly Dr. Nasinga Burton provides her poignant and positive feedback on things that affect our life, our culture, and our community every week. Check it out, Need to Know with Dr. Nasinga Burton, here on the Black Executive Perspective podcast.
Absolutely, and don't forget to check out the next roundtable of Pull Up Speak Up, where bold, unfiltered voices tackle the day's most provocative issues. Sharp talk, sharp perspectives, real talk. As John was saying earlier, this is where people can disagree and still love one another. So check it out on Pull Up Speak Up here on the Black Executive Perspective podcast.
We always want to remind you to incorporate our call to action, which is LESS. Our goal is to eliminate all forms of discrimination. And to achieve this, We're asking everyone to embrace less, L-E-S-S. The L stands for learn. Educate yourself on racial and cultural nuances and things that you might not know that you actually have such a passion for, no matter how old you are or how far you've come.
Absolutely. And then after you learn, you have the letter E, which stands for empathy. Now, since you've learned, now since you've become enlightened, like our brother John has, right? Now you can be more empathetic to other friends and people that you may not know, because now you can put yourself in their shoes.
And then the first S is for share. Share your insights and enlighten others. Don't hide it, divide it. We want to make sure that we spread these good things and positivity from Americans to each other wherever we can.
Absolutely. And then the final S stands for stop. You want to stop discrimination as it walks in your path. So if Aunt Jenny or Uncle Joe says something that's inappropriate at the Sunday dinner table, you say, Aunt Jenny, Uncle Joe, we don't believe that. We don't say that. And you stop it right there. So if everyone can incorporate less, L-E-S-S, we'll build a more fair, more understanding world. And guess what? We'll all see the change that we want to see, because less will become more.
I want to remind you to check out all the episodes that we've discussed on the platform. Check out the award-winning ones that we've had and the award-winning ones that are to come. We'll definitely be bringing out more content. We'll be coming live for you to go and banter back and forth with us and give us your perspective in real time. But go to the website, sign up for the newsletter, leave us reviews on things you'd have an interest in or you'd like to talk about. We don't know it all. You know, we're learning about things that John has taught us. We want to learn from you too. Subscribe wherever you're listening. Where can they find us, Tony?
Buddy, you can find the Black Executive Perspective podcast on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us at our social channels of LinkedIn, X, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at a Black Exec. For our fabulous guest, John Sapiente, CEO of Volition, my boy down in Dallas, Chris P. Reed, the co-host with the most, I'm Tony Tidbit. We talked about it. We learned about it. We laughed about it. We're going to salute about it. We love you. And guess what? We're out.
A Black Executive Perspective.